Yep. We're good. Right. Perfect.
Going live.
All right. And we're live. Welcome, everyone, to a new episode of the Electric Podcast. We're a bit late today because we had to match our schedule because I'm still in Europe, but Seth is in Los Angeles. And sunny Los Angeles.
In Hollywood.
How's the weather there, Seth?
The weather is fantastic. A little smoggy, as you would expect.
That's still
Today was fun. I got to do some driving. It embargoed. So everything I'm talking about today, about the Mustang Mach-E, is not from today's thing, whatever I did. But it is from the leaks that some guy at Ford is probably in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, if you guys haven't been following this, what happened last night is that someone on the Mach-E forums was doing some sleuthing on the URLs for the Mach-E, and they found the exact reservation page for the car with basically all the information, all the spec and pricing information on it. So there was a big oopsie from the Ford team, which kind of stole the scoop for you guys all at the press event. But I'm sure that you still have some things that... When's your embargo lifting up?
I think tomorrow night. I think at like 9:30 Pacific or 9:30 Eastern, 6:30 Pacific.
Okay, so you're still going to give us some test riding impressions?
Right.
Okay.
Yes, and we got we drilled down deep. Like, we were with the battery guy for a while and all this other stuff. So we've got some really good information.
And some pictures, too. I mean, on the website, it was all press pictures that are very retouched and everything, very Photoshopped. And also, there was some writing over it and everything. So we didn't get a clear good look. I'm sure in person, it looks very, very different.
Yeah, it's actually a pretty beautiful car, I have to say. Mm-hmm. It didn't initially come off either beautiful or Mustang. But as I've seen more and more pictures of it, you know, first it was the mock-ups, and then it was seeing one version of the car in red. But mm-hmm. The white one I saw today was pretty slick. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows that Ford's going to make a white version. So, but
yeah. I feel we can talk about the design since the pictures have leaked.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good looking vehicle. What I particularly like is you can see from the leak that there's a dark part of the car that goes in the back, and the painted part of the car kind of sloops down like a fastback. And what that does is it gives rear occupants a whole lot of room from the leaks. It looks like that,
mm-hmm.
and so it's. From the leaks. So it's pretty clear that the Ford Mustang designers did some really good work there.
Mm-hmm. So from the leaks again, what about the design you think makes it a Mustang? Because it still surprised some people that they're sticking with the Mustang brand naming here. They're calling it the Mach-E too, but they're really calling the Ford Mustang Mach-E. So they are using the Mustang name brand. From my point of view, the front end, the way it's curved a little bit, it is reminiscent of the Ford Mustang. But other than that, I'm really finding hard to see a clear design resemblance to it. I don't know. Based on the leaks, again, do you see the difference?
Yeah. So, I mean, from the rear, those lights are very reminiscent of the... so they did a lot of work with the lights. They really hit the mark on the lights. The other stuff is it kind of... is reminiscent. It does look like, I mean, it's a crossover SUV. How do you make that into a Mustang? But you know, with those constraints, I feel like they've done a really good job. It's not ugly. Mustang purists are the only people that I've heard that don't like the design, mm-hmm. but you know, they're probably not they're probably part of the target audience, but
I'd argue it's the best Mustang ever made, but
I would agree with that.
Yeah, you're right. I think from the headlights, the whole curve, the whole design line from the headlights going all the way over the fenders, I think that's the most Mustang part of the car. How do you think they handle the whole front end thing with the replacing the grill with the completely get covered bumper grill on it?
So from the leaks, I thought that they could have done something smoother on the front. Like they have mm-hmm. this like front, plastic nose cone thing that's mm-hmm. kind of concave, rather than bulbous or convex. There's a black, area around it that you would think, well, that's where the air is going to go to either cool the car or cool the batteries or something, you know. You've got all this like incoming air. You might as well do something with it.
And that's plastic too. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like kind of curious the way they've done it.
They have some air intake on the side though, underneath, right? On the side, I think.
Yeah, they do. So again, from the leaks, the coefficient of drag doesn't look like it's going to be in the Tesla low twos. I don't know what it is, but I think it's probably a little bit higher than that. So that's
good. If I were to speculate, I would say something around the 0.3 region. If I were to speculate, based on
yeah, the, probably the front end. Something like just under that or something. I don't know. Anyway,
but yeah, it reminds me of the original Model S. Really, the nose cone. Like they went with the same color as the rest of the car, not like the contrast with the black with whatever color you had for the Model S. But it is still. In terms of framing the logo, basically, it's very similar.
Yeah, and from the leaks, we saw that the GT version is going to have a special color texture nose cone. So they're kind of differentiating the front ends a little bit for the GT. But we know from the leaks, don't we, that the GT is not going to come out until the spring of
2022. I didn't see that from the leaks, but maybe.
No, I think that was some speculation I read on the Mach-E forum. So that's not for sure. We don't know that.
Yeah, we don't know that. Well, speaking of the different variants here, we can get into it. But I did release a comparison with the Model Y, because let's be honest here, Ford is really going after Tesla and after the Model Y in particular, and they haven't hidden that fact whatsoever. It's not speculation from our part here. I mean, when Tesla announced the Model Y, they did their whole tweet about it and everything, and then they came out and said that we are aiming for that car to be in showrooms around the same time as Model Y is releasing. Of course, that was before Tesla accelerated the timeline of Model Y last month to summer 2020 instead of fall 2020. But still, I mean, based on Tesla's ability to keep two timelines, and they're probably going to be around the same time. Even today, I mean, I'm sure you can talk about that at least, like where the event is going to be held for the launch of the Ford Mach-E is quite clearly a shot at Tesla, right?
Right. I mean, they're literally launching in the Mach-E on Tesla's, sacred, like, Hawthorne campus, the Hawthorne Airport. The event is going to be there. We were there today, probably, maybe, and it's quite striking. And if I had talked to a representative from Ford about that, coincidence, they would probably say that it wasn't a coincidence. But we don't know that yet. It's just one of those things that there's a lot of places in LA you could have an event. There seems like an interesting choice to me.
Yeah.
Maybe there's not a lot of places to do what you want to do there, but kind of feel like they could have picked somewhere else, just rolled the dice and somewhere else would have came up. But, and I have to say, like, Tesla and Elon Musk haven't been totally, innocent in the Ford versus Tesla thing.
They killed Sachs.
Obviously it goes, they killed Sachs, right? And you know, the Model S, and the, you know, Ford had a Model S, and obviously they had a Model T and a Model A and everything. So like that naming thing. And then also, didn't Elon say something about like during the next downturn, Ford is going to go bankrupt or something?
I don't remember that. He does often give them credit for not going bankrupt in the last financial crisis. So
that's
I
true.
I don't remember him, that's true. Him saying that the will of eventually. Anyway, okay, so let's go into some of those specs because that was the big leak this year. So like, what we're going to do here is I'm going to go through the specs and set based on your own speculations here. You're going to correct me if I'm getting something that's not you think could be different in the production version. Anyway. So let's start with the basics here. Like the base price for the Mach-E is going to be $44,000, basically. And it's going to start with an EPA rated range of 230 miles. And of course, when we talk about the pricing for Ford, I'm talking about the MSRP. So they sell through dealerships. So that's the MSRP for the dealership. And they're going to have access to all the incentives, especially the federal tax credit, since Ford has been...
That's a huge deal.
Yeah, like that's a big difference.
That is a monster factor. And it's, you know, for a matter of a couple quarters, they're going to have that. But like when put head to head, like that's going to be a big incentive. Mm-hmm.
The point where I'd be Tesla might have some difficulty selling the Model Y in comparison with the car if they do position it perfectly in the U.S. might be an issue. I'm sure Tesla's going to do perfectly well in other markets. Even just up north in Canada, Model Y would probably do great. And the Mach-E would probably do good too, but the comparison will be closer. So yeah, if you compare that to the Model Y, we don't know. Like that's a base version, 230 miles of range. It would be the same as the standard range plus, really, 230 miles of range. We don't know the exact price of it because Tesla doesn't sell it on the website yet, but we could extrapolate from the Model 3 and the difference, the discrepancy between the other variants of Model 3 and Model Y that Tesla does sell, and would be around $43,000. So right around the same price, right around the same range, right around the same 0 to 60 miles per hour acceleration, which is 5.5 for the Mach-E. 5 seconds for the Mach-E, 5.9 for the Model Y, and cargo space, that will apply
pretty
to
similar.
All different. Yeah, 59.6 cubic feet for the Mach-E and 66 cubic feet for Model Y. So a win for the Model Y there, but not by that much. A difference to note here, it sounds like, and maybe with your speculation, you can correct me here. It sounds like Ford is planning to offer a dual motor all-wheel drive version on all different variants, including we were talking about the Mach-E Select here, the base variant, so the smaller battery pack without all the jazz that come with the GT or the California Route version or anything like that. And of course, Tesla doesn't sell the Model Y or the Model 3 with an all-wheel drive unless it has a long-range battery pack.
Right. So if I were to speculate, I would say that the California version, the Route 1 version, you probably won't be able to get that with all-wheel drive because that's gonna be their super long-range version, I think, maybe.
Yeah, they were. Then,
yeah?
Yeah, keep going.
That's the 300-mile
version. Sorry, I lost you for a second.
The 300-mile version is...
But they listed 200. A few at 300 miles. They listed also just the premium version, the Ford Mustang Mach-E premium. That's also listed at 300 miles.
Yeah, I think that's when you don't have all-wheel drive, because I think the all-wheel drive cuts off some miles. And I think the extra, you know, the higher power versions cut off some miles.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have the base model of acceleration and you have two-wheel drive, then you get 300 miles.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, so I think all trims, I mean, and there's quite a few trims. I think five were out. I think all five.
Well, if you count the first edition thing, but that's just going to be a few cars, I guess it's not like, I didn't go into the first edition because it's just a temporary one.
By the way, how did they not name that the 2019 and a half? Like, that would have been a good play on 1964 and a half. Anyway, it theoretically, if I was there, I would have asked them that question, and they would have said, that's a great idea. But
too late. But yeah, if we compared the Ford Mustang Mach-E Premium, which I think compares closest to the Model Y long-range rear-wheel drive version of the car, which currently is the base version on Tesla's website if you design the Model Y right now. So that car started at $48,000 for Tesla. It started at $50,600 for the Mach-E. 300 miles range each, so very similar. Mid 5 seconds 0-60 for the Mach-E, 5.5 seconds 0-60 for so exactly mid 5 seconds, and again same cargo space, so extremely close. And of course, Ford can afford to be $2,000 more expensive because they're gonna have the full tax credit, while Tesla's not gonna have it. So,
yeah, I mean, like all other decisions, people are going to take like the whole of the experience, and you know, people who are used to traditional automakers and Fords in particular, Ford fans are going to kind of gravitate toward the Mustang, and then you know, obviously the Tesla fans are going to gravitate toward Tesla. It's the people who are kind of neither here nor there that it's going to be a question.
Yeah,
like which car do they prefer? And obviously, there's other cars out there, like the, the Jaguar I-Pace seems like the biggest or the closest competitor. But yeah, you know, Audi's got the e-tron, and there's a few other kind of crossovery vehicles to choose from. So it's not like a zero sum game, but it's.
But for me, the spec comparison is most interesting for the fact that Ford is able to deliver that, because Tesla has had a lead on those things for so long that it's even just interesting that Ford is getting pretty close here. Now, I wouldn't say equal in terms of specs, but it's getting close. For sure, there's a bunch of intangible things like brand loyalty and things like that. But the fact that they are able to get that close in specs is very interesting. But for really their first... It's Ford's first all-electric vehicle built to be electric from the ground up. Everything else was a conversion, really, from an existing platform that was meant to be a gas-powered platform. So I think that's really interesting on that front. We can go last one, just compare the Mach-E GT, which, of course, that I think is going to be the most controversial one for Mustang fan. Like, you have a Mustang GT that's all electric, like, ugh. But Model 3 performance has been doing great for on the performance sedan side, and I mean, I feel like a crossover performance car is not that like it's not something that people want that much, but Tesla is going to release a performance version of Model Y, and based on their specs that they are talking about right now, 280 miles of range. Ford is listing 235 miles of range for their GT version. So that's where there's the biggest discrepancy so far between the two. They say mid 3 seconds, 0-60. Tesla is advertising 3.5 seconds, though I think they might be a little bit faster than that based on the recent power increase that we were seeing for the Model 3 performance. And same cargo space. So what that tells me, because the GT version, if I understand correctly, is only going to be dual motor all-wheel drive. So if you do get the dual motor on your Ford Mustang Mach-E, GT or not, but since we have the spec for the GT here, it does look like it affects the efficiency a lot. So 235 miles of range. And I assume that it would be the same bigger battery pack version of the car that you would get for the premium version, which gets 300 miles. So that would be quite the hit for what, basically? For adding bigger wheels. It comes with 20-inch wheels. You're adding a motor, bigger performance, so maybe a little less efficiency there. But I feel like that's a big hit, because Tesla does get the 300 miles of range on the long-range rear-wheel drive with the same battery pack that they get 280 miles of range on the Model Y performance, and they do get the same similar performance specs as the Mach-E. So if Tesla does have an engineering technology performance advantage for electric vehicles, I think that we see it there.
You know, that's a great point. And Detroit Borg, one of our commenters, noted that the batteries are going to be from LG Chem. And, you know, is that an advantage that Tesla has with, because, you know, LG has the pouch batteries that are in, you know, like it's in the Chevy Bolt. It's, they work out fine, but, they just don't seem to be as, like high level performance as, Tesla's, 2170 batteries. So I just wonder if those kind of generic LG Chem batteries aren't quite up to the level of Tesla. I don't know for sure. Like, it's just speculation, but it does seem that that Ford and other, like an Audi and everybody else, isn't able to get the same amount of range from the same amount of batteries. And that I think that's Tesla's, not just their batteries, but also their drivetrain is more efficient, even at the high end with the performance versions.
I think in this case, it has to be the power efficiency, not the batteries, because they are getting the same range at 300 miles. And so it's not about like how much range you get on what energy capacity. We don't know that yet because, I mean, unless you have something to say here, we don't know the capacity of the Ford battery packs here. But the discrepancy on the same battery pack, so because I have to assume that the Mach-E Premium has the same battery pack as the Mach-E GT, just not the same drivetrains. The discrepancy is much bigger on Tesla having the same battery pack on a single motor drivetrain and a dual motor performance drivetrain. So Tesla has a power efficiency advantage here on the same battery pack. So that's, I think, the interesting part here. If you want to compare batteries, of course, better battery cells have a big impact on the power, on the charge rate, on the DC fast charging charge rate that you can get. We don't have that yet on the Mach-E. The only thing that was in the leak was 47 minute charging the battery pack on 150 kilowatt. On the 150 kilowatt charger, was that it?
I believe 150 kilowatt is right. And it said in 10 minutes you could get 47 miles of charge.
Oh yeah, 47 miles of charge in 10 minutes. Yeah, sorry, that's the difference. So yeah, it sounds like they can maintain that 150 kilowatts for a little while and get a decent boost out of it. But it's not quite to the level of the Model Y is going to be able to perform on that front, which we assume is going to be the same as the Model 3, which is 250.
Or pretty kilowatts. Close.
Yeah.
Right. I do think that if you do all the math on the numbers we have, there's going to be some discrepancy in the amount of kilowatt hours that the pack has and that the car actually has access to. Something that Audi also does.
Energy.
Where they. Right. Mm-hmm. So I think that math might turn up some interesting.
Do you think you're going to be able to release those numbers on tomorrow? Are you going to have them tomorrow or not?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so that, like, yeah, we'll have some stuff on that.
Okay. Because, yeah, if you look into that, like, the best example is Audi, which I think they have an 82% energy capacity in the car. Like, they have an 18% buffer, really. If I remember correctly, it's like 10% on top and 8% at the bottom, or vice versa, one or the other. So they are like the safest in that. Like, they are the most conservative, I should say. And then you have Tesla that is the least conservative, and you have some in between that, like the I-Pace and like the Mercedes EQC, for example, which I think is a little shorter than that, maybe closer to 12%. So it would be interesting to see where Ford stands on that front. But I mean, overall, the interior, let's start a bit about the interior, because we do have one picture of it from the website that's leaked. And so what we see here is a clear vertical screen, similar to Model S, and you have a smaller instrument cluster screen. And there's a dial that's in the bottom inside the front screen. So if you were to speculate, Seth, what's that dial? How does that dial would work, you think?
Well, it's interesting because it looks like the dial is actually glued to the screen, which, like, how would you do that? But yeah, like if that. The dial, if you were to, like, speculate, like, how that would work, like, it's almost like an iPod, right? You'd be able to have that physical button, but still have the capacitive touch in one. So, like, you know, say they used it for volume, you know, pulling that out of the thin air. Like, you know, you get a call or your kids are yelling and you just want to turn down the volume really quick. You got that. You don't have to, like, or, you know, like, reach on your steering wheel. Mm-hmm. So that, to me, seems like something that would be really, like, novel and cool. Obviously, we have to get out and try it. Mm-hmm. We don't know how great it works. But from that picture, that screen looks like it was inspired by Tesla's work a little bit. And actually, the whole dash is remarkably reminiscent of the Model 3. And in a good way, like, I think, you know, you see something good, you copy it. I think that's, you know, that was Apple's mantra for a while. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, they went to Xerox PARC and pulled the whole Mac OS from mm-hmm. there and improved on it. So anyway, interior wise, it's a huge departure from Ford, but coming out of a, you know, driving a Model 3 most days, I look at that interior like it looks very, very familiar.
Yeah, I mean, Ford did have a Model 3. We know that they reverse engineered Model 3 last year I think early last year. So,
as did everybody else.
Yeah, as most people do. Yeah. But they did it probably with the Mach-E in mind. All right, so we're going to have more on the Mach-E tomorrow for sure, tomorrow night. Probably a few posts on that, so stay tuned to that check for that. No video or anything like that? We have video for YouTube or not?
You know, it's kind of frustrating because some of these PR groups are like, hey, you can't take any of your own video. We'll just give you video you can use. So, like all the websites are going to have the exact same video.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is going to be like that, but.
All right.
Maybe.
Okay. So before we move on to other companies, let's go back to Tesla for a bit because there was some good Tesla news this week, starting with Gigafactory 4. Elon confirmed that it's going to be in Berlin, Berlin area, Berlin region, really. He did that actually during the Golden Steering Wheel Award, Golden Wheel Award, which is apparently the most prestigious award in Europe for prestigious automotive award. And the Model 3 won for the midsize sedan. So as Elon was accepting the award, he made the announcement that they made a deal with the local government to have a Gigafactory 4 built in the Berlin area. It's actually going to be built in next to an existing industrial park that is sort of southeast of Berlin, about an hour's drive from the city, from the center of the city. And it's not too far, not too close either, but not too far from a new airport that Berlin has been working on for a while now.
Yeah, that airport's almost a decade in the making. Being built. In the making. It was almost ready, I believe, 4 years ago, and they didn't do any like fire suppression stuff. And the fire inspectors went in there and they're like, "What are you doing?
What are you doing?"
And they're like, "Oh, you don't have to do that." Yeah, and they're like, "No, you have to have sprinklers." So they basically had to like rip up everything and start over again, which is crazy. You wouldn't think like the Germans, like an oversight like that would be like, right.
Yeah,
like,
so that's hopefully just not
something that stereotypically they do.
Yeah, hopefully there's sprinklers in the Gigafactory 4. There's a few interesting thing about that. First of all, Elon did, if you remember a while back, Elon was like, every other Gigafactory after Gigafactory 1 is going to have vehicle production and battery production. That wasn't the case Gigafactory 4, 3, sorry, Gigafactory 3 in Shanghai, though eventually we expect batteries to be produced there in the future, just not now. he said that this is going to be batteries and powertrain produced at Gigafactory 4 in Germany. And he also added that they're actually going to start with Model Y production there, which is interesting. So it's not like Gigafactory 3 where it's going to be Model 3 and Model Y production, but they're starting with Model 3. They're going to start right away with Model Y production for Gigafactory 4, which makes sense because Shanghai, Gigafactory Shanghai is going to free up some Model 3 production capacity in Fremont, since Tesla's not going to have to produce the Chinese Model 3 in Fremont now. So it's going to have more Model 3 capacity that probably is not going to be able to be fulfilled just in North America. So they're going to have to be able to send more cars in Europe, more Model 3 vehicles in Europe from Fremont. So it makes sense to focus the starter production on another vehicle in Gigafactory 4. Also, we just don't know really the capacity of Fremont to produce Model Y. I mean, Elon was at one point talking about a million car in Fremont, but there's been some doubts about that. So it's interesting that really right now we know three production location for the Model Y already. It's going to be produced in Fremont, it's going to be produced in Gigafactory 3, and it's going to be produced in Gigafactory 4. So if you're if you want to know which car Tesla is banking on right now, it's clearly the Model Y. There wasn't any update in terms of the timeline, but earlier this summer, Elon did say that he expect the factory to be operational at the end of 2021. So we still have 2 years here. So 2 year timeline. It's actually more room than the Gigafactory 3. More time than the Gigafactory 3. If you think about it, but we do expect it to take longer with the more red tapes in Germany than in China. And the construction, well, here's another thing too. They need to clear a forest there. So they expect not construction to start, but the clearing of the forest to start in the early Q1 2020. So that's from there construction is gonna start. But there is a big forest now where they plan to do the factory, and they're going to have to clear part of it at least. And interestingly, BMW was planning to have a factory at the same location in the early 2000s, and they ended up abandoning the project. Not exactly clear if it was for that reason, but there were pushbacks for that reason. They didn't want them to cut down the forest. And so maybe it was a factor, maybe it wasn't the main factor. It's not clear. But they ended up, that's when they decided to do the big factory they have now in Leipzig. So it ended up there instead of near Berlin. Tesla doesn't seem to have as much pushback on that front. They did say that they plan to plan three times as many threes as they will cut down for the factory. Of course, that's not a perfect solution either. There's issues with just cutting down trees, changing an ecosystem, and just planting more trees somewhere else doesn't always... it's not a perfect solution because, of course, also you're cutting down mature trees that are much more beneficial to the environment than new trees and whatnot. So it's not a perfect solution, but probably going to go by easier if your goal is to build an electric vehicle factory than if it was to build more polluting SUVs like BMW was planning to do, right?
Oh, yeah.
What do you think of the timing, too, of the whole Threelon thing with the $1 million donation to the Project Three, it's called, the YouTube thing that was launched?
Yeah, that seems like a really big coincidence that Elon was all of a sudden sensitive to tree issues and decided to change his name to Threelon right before, like, this
the
possible controversy. Yeah, so... You know, give them the benefit of the doubt, but whatever.
Yeah. All right.
I mean, mm-hmm. Yeah.
The other big Tesla news this week is Cybertruck trademark, but Cybertruck spelled out CYBRTRK, all capitalized. So they did file a trademark not long after announcing the date of the event. And, I mean, the speculation from the trademark is that that's actually going to be the way that they spell out Cybertruck. And the vehicle is actually going to be called the Tesla Cybertruck, the pickup truck. It's not confirmed yet, but I mean, do you see any other possible explanation here?
No, I mean, it seems very likely. However, or also the email address for the event to RSVP is cybertruck@tesla.com. So it would seem like all signs point to Cybertruck. And obviously Elon's mm-hmm. been saying Cybertruck for a while. As for the vowels, I feel like you gotta kind of trademark both of those things. Maybe they're going to just like have Cybertruck written on the back of the truck without the vowels, but like in normal conversation, you're going to use the vowels. So probably mm-hmm. should have both spellings. I don't know. But I do think Cybertruck is the name.
How do you feel about that?
I feel like cyber, like just the word cyber is like a little dated.
Yeah.
But I guess this is like steampunk, which is kind of like half future, half past. I don't know. I don't love it. I don't hate it. It's fine.
It's a big departure from Tesla's naming scheme, yeah. Really.
Yeah.
I mean, it was so clean, such a clean naming scheme, Model S, Model 3. Tesla Roadster is, of course, like a relic of the original Tesla Roadster, and they decided to keep with it, but it's also fairly clean. I mean, it's a Roadster. You call it Tesla Roadster. I mean, that was Elon's logic was that you call it what it is. Like Model S was, they wanted to call it Model Sedan, but they felt right. like so calling it, spelling out the sedan was like a little bit weird. So yeah, we should probably run a poll on that, see what people think about the change in the naming scheme. But yeah, that's on the 21st, and we got our invites and everything, so we're going to be there. Well, at least we're talking about you and Jamie's going to be there. Brad coming too? Do you get plus ones?
Yeah, Jamie's going to be there. I'm going to be there. There was a weird thing with the plus one where Jamie added me as the plus one, so then when I went in to get mine, it said you are already registered. So... And that, then I didn't get a plus one. So I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Other Tesla news this week that was kind of interesting. Gigafactory 3 got his manufacturing license. The seemingly the last bit of government approval that they needed to do the to start official manufacturing. But... we don't know if they can actually do it. Like it's seemingly was their last bit, but it's so complicated at this point. They received like three different waves of government approval for it. And we just don't know if they can start yet. It looks like they already could start based on the trial production that they had, but that's about it really. So based on some leak from the Chinese media, they could produce up to 100 Model 3s per day right now based on what they are allowed to. I mean, I don't get like if you're green-litted for production, you should just like, all right, whatever you can produce, but there's like levels to it and everything, so it's quite complicated. But we do expect an official start of production soon. A bunch of Tesla made in China Model 3 reservation holders, buyers have been... Tesla has let them know that they should expect a delivery date soon. So, and we've seen Tesla actually produce a few dozen cars out of the Gigafactory 3 based on drone flyovers of the factory somewhat recently. So something to keep an eye on. What else here? Model 3 performance. Oh, yeah. We've been talking about the 5% power increase that got through a kind of a nice software update over the air. Some people have been putting that to the test this week and now claim that the Model 3 performance can even dip below 3 seconds 0-60. I'm talking about 2.99 here, so literally just under 3 seconds, but still interesting. And drag times, Brooks from Drag Time, Brooks. Brooks, things pronounced Brooks, Drag Times is, of course, like the specialist of drag racing on YouTube, and they had a few tests over the years. They have a pretty good idea of the performance of the Tesla's vehicles, and he did say that he expect that Tesla is going to be able to keep updating, optimizing the power output of the vehicle to achieve 2.8 seconds 0-60, which could be very impressive. And because we're still talking about a $50,000, $60,000 car here, and you're starting to get pretty close of the Model S performance time too. So something to keep an eye on. Brooks, yeah, sorry about that. And in other Tesla news, Supercharger V3, the rollout, we've been keeping an eye on the rollout, which has been quite slow in the past, it's been eight, 9 months since they unveiled the V3 technology. There was it was just the Las Vegas Supercharger station, the new one that was the first full-fledged Supercharger V3. Then they updated a few ones partly. Now the rollout looks more significant with Kettleman City Supercharger, which is Tesla's biggest in North America, is getting a full row of V3 stations. So that's interesting. We expect that to open soon. We saw some picture this week that it's looks and the installation is complete. And there's also the a new 28 V3 station, which would make the biggest V3 supercharger station, just V3, out there between Los Angeles and Phoenix. So they're going to cover that route, try to make it a little bit faster with the new power capacity. And we're going to see that relatively soon. There's no timeline on that one, though, unfortunately. But yeah, it looks like they're clearly accelerating the V3 supercharger rollout. And not only those stations, there's about a few dozen more stations planned. And the especially one that's very interesting is the old Trans-Canadian Highway. All the two dozen stations now that are covering the plains and going into the big, long part of Northern Ontario that you need to do to link the plains to Quebec. Those are all supercharger V3, so that's going to be interesting to see Tesla deploy them and basically in the middle of nowhere. No offense to anyone that lives there, but it's not a very populated area, not densely populated at least. Do we need to make an announcement now, Seth, or can we leave it at the end of the show? Or
we should probably. Now's a good time for a sponsor message. This week, the podcast is sponsored by EV Items. As a special deal for our readers, EV Items is offering 20% off all of its accessories with the code ELECTREK, ELECTREK. And you'll get a free Elon Musk air freshener, which I know everybody needs with every purchase. Some of the deals you'll want to check out include wireless Qi charger inserts made for the Model 3, S, and X consoles. There's also a premium interior LED light upgrade kit for all Tesla models that makes it much brighter inside your Tesla at night. These are 6 times brighter than the stock lights and available in 1 or 4 bulb light kits or in complete kits for Model S, Model X, and Model 3. And you'll also find a selection of other accessories like center console, storage drawers, floor mats, and much more. Head over to evitems.com and use code ELECTREK at checkout for 20% off. Thanks again for EV Items for sponsoring this week. If you guys know somebody who's a big Tesla fan and, you know, Black Friday's coming up, the holidays, what better place to get some swag for those folks who love Tesla?
Yeah, and it's nice too because a lot of EV accessory makers, they only focus on the Model 3 because it's like more volume and everything. EV Items also has stuff for Model S and X. So
yeah, they're great.
Yeah. They're gonna take care of you whatever EV you have. That's fun. Another news this week: we just announced Gigafactory 4 in Europe. From Tesla, basically going into the backyard of the German automakers, and but the German automakers also coming in Tesla's backyard to make EVs. Volkswagen broke ground on its new Tennessee EV factory, and well, I mean it's not entirely a new factory. I would say like it's still in Chattanooga where they have already a huge factory, but it's like an extension next to the factory, and it's just to make EVs, and they are investing $800 million in it. So it's not any small capacity that they're planning. They're planning a full scale operation to produce a lot of electric vehicles, but based on the MEB platform, of course. And it's been a bummer for Volkswagen, which has clearly a very ambitious electric vehicle electrification plan. But at least early in the electrification plan, they are focusing on Europe and they are focusing on China, like many other automakers, for regulatory reason, of course. The biggest example is that we're not getting the ID.3 in North America. It's only in Europe. The first cars that they plan to produce with the MEB platform in the Chattanooga in the US is the ID Cruz, which, I mean, we're talking about the Mach-E, we're talking about the Model Y. It's probably the closest competitor to that we're going to see. We haven't seen the production version of it yet, but the concept ID Cruz that we saw is looking quite good, actually. I like what I see from it. The other car that's going to be produced at the factory is the minibus, the electric minibus that the VW is relaunching, the ID Buzz, called like a microbus, actually. I think that's just coming in 2022.
Yeah, I mean, that's
2022, yeah.
That's kind of their, everybody loves to look at it, but I don't know how many people would buy it. I think a microbus would be fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, microbus. Yeah, like the Rivian R1T, like do it modulars with a bunch of different accessories to modify it. They could release a bunch of different configuration of the microbus for different people. That would be very cool. They're planning a production capacity of 180,000 cars a year at that plant. So, I mean, I'm sure the ID. Cruz is going to be a high volume one. I'm not sure how big of a volume you get out of the electric microbus. Unless they could maybe, I don't know, like do a commercial version of it. Like, not sure.
I feel like at CES or one of those shows,
yeah, you're right.
They had a commercial version of the
microbus. ID Cargo actually was called, yeah.
Right.
I remember now. ID Buzz Cargo, I think. They still kept the buzz. But, I mean, that's speculation from us. I'm not sure if they plan to do that there. At least the cargo version of it. All right, if we have a few questions, we can go into that before I'll leave you. But it's getting quite late on my side of the ocean right now. Guy Desharnais asks, did you see the logo letters rearranged to make a truck shape? Yeah, I did see that. I think that's one guy on the forums that did that. Though, I think it's quite a stretch, honestly, that Tesla plan to do that. Actually, he's using... is using the C from Cybertruck twice to make it. So I'm not sure if it was an actual Easter egg. Tesla would make you use the one letter twice. Like it doesn't make sense. If the goal is to rearrange the letter, you're not going to double a letter. So I think that one's a big stretch, really. Striker Ace asked, what were the terms for the Berlin site? You know what? Based on what the local politicians are saying there was no any kind of incentive plan offered for Tesla or anything like that. So that was interesting. I mean, Tesla clearly had a massive one in Nevada for the Gigafactory 1. In China, there was some, I mean, Tesla negotiated with the government to allow its vehicle to get a tax break. And then they also... were given some very attractive loans from the local banks and everything. So there was some kind of incentive there. But Berlin, so far, we're not hearing anything. And the local politicians are saying, no, we convinced them with our great engineering talent, workers that we have there. And
they're not part of Brexit because apparently the UK was on the table until Brexit came.
Nope.
And that was part of the story after the story. Elon said that they were considering the UK until Brexit, but I don't know how realistic that is. Maybe that's just a nice letdown. I did read another story that said that there were some kind of incentives proffered by the mayor of Berlin or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't remember specifically what it was. These things kind of like, well, you have access to workers and we'll have, you know, we'll put transportation to the thing, you know, those kind of incentives.
Yeah, they need to change the infrastructure, of course, at that industrial park there. And I think the operator of the industrial park are going to do that investment. So I'm sure that was part of the deal. But there's no, so far, we don't hear anything about tax breaks or anything like that, which is normally the big thing that has to come with it. I mean, it was the whole story about Nevada for a year after the Gigafactory 1 was announced. So I don't think we're going to see that there. I think the threes are going to be probably a bigger story for now, because it is often a big story in Germany. They do have some issues maintaining their forest there. There was definitely some kind of deal going on, but nothing major enough that they felt the need to announce it. Apparently, and even the local politician was saying, no, we didn't give them any tax breaks, anything like that. So, all right, that's it for that. What else do we have here? Do you see any other question?
Did you know that Berlin was close to lithium deposits? I didn't know that Germany was a lithium place.
Yeah.
Like, I know they have a lot of engineering talent, and mm-hmm. I know they have quite a bit of recycling capability there. But I didn't know that they had minerals like lithium salts.
And the government is making some incentive for people to produce lithium-ion battery cells there, but I've never seen anything linked to actual lithium deposit from the actual mineral, so that would be news for me.
All right. So, what do you expect?
What do you expect? The range?
Yeah, I guess there's lithium everywhere. Yes. the range of the Cybertruck, will it be 250, 240? I don't know.
My big thing is like Elon promised a price under $50,000, which would be incredible to me. But if they do that, it's going to have a 200 miles range maximum. Like, they're not going to deliver a 200 kilowatt hour battery pack for a car or vehicle less than $50,000. So, I think it's going to start around 200 miles. And then sky is the limit with such a bigger platform like that. I mean, they could get 300 kilowatt hour pack in there and get that 400 miles range. I'm confident that we're going to see the Tesla vehicle with the biggest difference in option of range yet. I think that makes sense. Aside from the Tesla Semi, which has a 200 miles difference between variants, but for consumer Tesla vehicle, I think it's going to be the biggest discrepancy in the range for options.
Yeah, and so theoretically, using the 2170 cells, maybe a bigger pack, like 150 kilowatt hour pack. Although, didn't Elon say something about never needing to go over 120 or something like that?
That was for Model S and X platform.
Okay. So kind of wide open, but to get under 50,000, you can't really go that far in a pickup. So that's kind of the low answer there.
Yeah.
Do you think the Cybertruck will charge at 250 kilowatts? That's from Gook. I think in minimum.
I think in maximum, really. Because if you look at like the Tesla, unless they do a mega charger thing, because if you look at the Tesla Semi, why it's able to charge at higher charge rate is that they're splitting the power in different battery packs and delivering it like that. So if it's a supercharger capacity, I think they're going to stick to the 250, because I mean, they just released the 250 V3, so it's going to be the max capacity. And unless they, maybe they're going to do that. Maybe they're going to do
two chargers at once.
Maybe they're going to do a version which you can only charge at a supercharger at 250, and then a more expensive version that had access to the mega charger network, which still doesn't exist, but right. You can get like a 500 kilowatt charge rate or something. And for commercial purposes, because I mean, I don't know if the Cybertruck is going to be suited for commercial purposes, but I mean, there's a lot of pickup truck that are bought for commercial purposes, so it would make sense to have a vehicle that can do that. And if you have a higher charger, it would make sense. But yeah, V4, I don't think there's a V4 coming anytime soon. I mean, the V3 took a year and a half longer to come than it did. I don't think there's a V4. This has a V4 in their sleeves right now, unless you are referring to the mega charger, but that's already announced.
Yeah. All right. I think we can close it up. I know you want to close, but I want to just thank EVitems.com again. Use the code OLOCKTRUCK, save 20% off.
Yes, definitely. EVitems.com. Thanks everyone for listening. Thanks everyone for watching on YouTube too. We're going to have a big week coming up. We have almost all our guys except me in LA, and I'm going to be helping out from Europe to coordinate the post and everything. But with the Elito show, there's going to be four interesting new EVs coming up in the next 4 days, basically 5 days. So stey tuned on the Electric. We're going to have a ton of news this week, and next week's podcast is going to be, I mean, we might have to do an hour and a half one or something like that. But so stay tuned. Thanks a lot. And, see you next time.